It's Wednesday, the 20th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Nick Anderson. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Oddero. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Oddero, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes like so many of you have done so far, and you can be a sponsor of the podcast for just one day. Also, there is moneyball.com.au, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. Make sure if you are living in Australia or New Zealand, you are checking out Moneyball and winning yourself some money. All right, first things first, if you are watching this on YouTube, I hope it looks a little bit different. I've invested in some lighting for the show, so it should look a little bit less shadowy, a little brighter. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you can tell a difference. New camera, new lighting. Things are improving on the video side of things. So let me know what you think. The lighting looks pretty bright from my end. I hope it's coming out all right to you guys, and it looks a little clearer and a little more better. I couldn't even think of another word to go there. Anyway, we've got NBA to talk about. There were four games on Tuesday, not up to the quality that we saw on MLK Day, but still some interesting lines to talk about. So
let's get to it.
I'm going to combine the monstrous line of the night, the waiver wire line of the night, and the young gun of the night into one player, and that is Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. Booker played 40 minutes. He had 32 points, a career high. He hit 6 triples. He had 2 assists. So you look and you go, okay, rebound, steals, and block, there was nothing. But what he did with the percentage-wise, 9 of 16 from the field is fantastic. And then he hit all 8 of his free throws as well. So significant impact in the percentages. The threes were big. The points were big. He gets the nod for the monstrous, the waiver wire, and the young gun of the night. He was a guy that had been sort of floating around with the numbers that he was putting up. You're not putting up fantastic numbers by any stretch. He's number ranked 138th over the last month. But he should be owned in most formats. Hornacek is going to frustrate teams with, or not teams, your teams, fantasy teams, with what he does with the rotation. I don't think there's any way, you know, to say that's not going to happen. But for now, Booker is the best young player on this team, showing the most potential, and hopefully they give him a big enough role. Now, he's not going to do much in other categories. He's going to be a lot of points. He's going to be threes. He's going to be fairly efficient from both the free throw line and the field as a three-point shooter, but don't expect assists and rebounds and big steals and big blocks. You're just not going to get that. He's going to be, and that's going to limit him. He's not going to be a top 50 player. He's not going to be probably a top 70 player, but he should be just around that 100 mark, I'd say, is the right spot for him going for the rest of the season. Maybe a little bit, even that might be a little bit high. Maybe he's that back end 12-team league guy. He could improve those other areas, but we haven't seen it from him yet. So if your team's super stacked, I'm not dropping a great player to go and add Devin Booker, but middle of the pack and you've got some space and you're really looking for points and threes with efficiency, that's what he's going to give you, and he's got value in that sense because he should still continue to get a pretty significant run for most of the season, you would think. The dud of the night goes to Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat. Wade wasn't great. He played 21 minutes, had 2 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists on just 1 of 6 shooting. He's had some trouble with his shoulder lately. Bit of a drop-off in performance over the last 3 games. Not overly worried if I own Dwayne Wade. He is who he is. He's a 60 to 80 sort of ranked player who's going to score, and he's going to score at a pretty good field goal percentage. Going to give you nice assists, nice rebounds. He's actually averaging 4.6 assists this year, which is right in line with what he does every year. He's 4.8 last year, 4.7, 5.1, 4.6, 4.6. A really underrated source of assists from the shooting guard position is Dwayne Wade. Not his greatest night, but I don't think that really is going to impact too much with him moving forward. There's always a risk with Dwayne Wade that he's going to get injured or he's going to miss time. And he's missed a little bit of time with the shoulder, but it hasn't been any sort of issue with his knees. Hasn't had that migraine problem which bothered him last season. he's been fairly steadfast or fairly resistant to getting hurt this year, which is obviously a bit of a boon for his owners who are able to pick him pretty late in most leagues, you know, 80s, 90s in some sort of formats with people who were worried about the injury, which is fair enough. All right, let's look now at the perfect DFS lineup for, what day? Tuesday. There we go. At point guard, Russell Westbrook, 53 points, and Drew Holiday put up 35.9. Holiday has been in pretty good touch lately. Tyreek Evans did play, but he didn't play his full allotment of minutes, so Holiday was able to get some extra run there. And we also had Eric Gordon go down with a fractured finger, which I'll talk about a little bit later. At the shooting guard position, Devin Booker had 31 points, and you can see the difference between Devin Booker for his 9-cat head-to-head roto sort of value, or head-to-head value is what it did before when he gets the monstrous line of the night, but for DFS it didn't translate into big, big numbers because so much of his value came from his elite percentages, which doesn't count in DFS. The other shooting guard, Joseph Young, 24.1 for the Pacers. Talked about him on yesterday's show and said he was worth a look at in a tournament if George Hill was going to miss. Well, Hill missed. Young played some big minutes, and I think he's going to be a really good player, Joe Young. I think he's got a lot of upside. George Hill is not a great point guard. I'm not saying that he's taking George Hill's job, but maybe in 2 years' time, or maybe, you know, second half of next season, Young really starts to push for playing time. I think that he should, you know, at least be able to maintain something in the rotation this year. It's still only really deep leagues and dynasty leagues that need to pay attention, or situations like this when you can use him at his rock-bottom salary in DFS, but a nice performance from Joe Young. Small forwards, Kevin Durant, 57.4, Chris Middleton, 44.9. Highlighted both those guys yesterday, and they came through. They were relatively, not easy picks, but ones you had to look at. Power forward Kenneth Faried, 37.5, a big night for Faried. Wasn't expecting him to be that good against the Thunder. And Miles Turner, his second consecutive spot in the perfect lineup, 26.8 for him. Mahinmi played, but he went down with an injury, so Turner again got extra run and put up a pretty good performance yet again. I'll talk about him later on. Hassan Whiteside rounds it out at center with 49.1, and that would have yielded you 359.7 fantasy points. Before we get into the box score breakdown portion of the show, just need to take a quick time out for a word from our sponsors, SeatGeek. The next time you're looking for tickets to an NBA game, you need to check out SeatGeek. It's the smartest way to buy and sell NBA tickets. It's my go-to app for buying and selling sports and concert tickets, and you can find tickets to any game on there. You're going to have some big games coming up really soon in the NBA. Try and get those. Just anything. You're on holiday, you're visiting someone, you're heading over from Australia to the States to watch some games. Make sure you're checking out SeatGeek to get tickets at a really cheap price. It's so easy to use. It's completely different from other ticket sites. SeatGeek pulls every option from other major ticket sites into one place to save you time. SeatGeek always shows you the full price of the ticket up front and never hides any fees. SeatGeek also gives you every ticket a grade based on value to help you figure out if it's a good deal or not. It's a great way to find underpriced tickets. And if you have tickets you can't use, SeatGeek will help you price your tickets on their site so they can quickly sell them to another fan. All the listeners of this podcast and watchers of the YouTube videos get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code and enter the promo code REDROCK. You can see it on the screen if you're watching the video. It is one word, REDROCK. SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code REDROCK today. Not only do you get $20 free, but it helps this podcast out immensely. And all the support that you guys have given, it enables me to invest in things like, you know, invested in better microphones, a better camera, extra lighting. Everything adds to the podcast and the presentation of it and the content of it. And just by going in, even if you say, look, you know, I don't think I'm going to use SeatGeek anytime soon, I'm not looking for any tickets, download the app, put that promo code in. And then at some point, if you're looking for tickets, you're going to get $20 free back, and you're going to help out this show as well. All it costs you is about 2 minutes of your time. I'd really appreciate it. And we can show SeatGeek, hey, look at this. Look at the Red Rock listeners. Look at what they're able to do. They support people who support me. And, you know, I support you by putting out content. It's all a big circle of life, so to speak. So head across and download that SeatGeek app. All right, let us now go into these box scores in a little bit more detail. There was only four games, so I reckon we could smash this out pretty quickly. Let's bring it up on the screen. There we go. All right. The first game of the night. It was the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat. The Bucks got the victory. Chris Middleton, 22-7-7, two threes, two steals. He is just... Did anyone think Chris Middleton was this good? I knew he was good last year, in the second half of last year. I don't think he was this good. This guy is putting up crazy numbers. He is a top 15 player over the last month in fantasy leagues. He is averaging 5 assists a game in that time frame. Last year, he averaged 2.3. He is absolutely on fire at the moment. And I think it's probably better to look at his per 36 numbers, because last year, he only played 30 minutes a game. He's at 36 this year, but he's still... for the season, 2.8 assists per 36 last year, 3.9 this year. Big change. He's hitting more threes. He's scoring more. His steals have dropped, and that was a big part of his value last year. He was a 1.5 guy last year. He's 1.1 this year. But that extra assist you're getting from a small forward, and he's even kicked it up extra notches over the last month. Yeah, a guy who's giving you 2 triples, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal, 23 points, 52%, and 86%. It's incredible. He has been a massive, massive steal. I thought the return of Jabari Parker might hurt him somewhat, but Middleton has established himself as almost the best offensive player on this team, at least from a small person perspective, not including Greg Monroe. He's putting up numbers that are fantastic at this stage, and maybe it doesn't last. Maybe Parker eventually takes over more of this role, and Giannis takes over more of this role, but Middleton is not... He was, and I talked about this the other day with Mika Honkasalo on his podcast. Middleton was a throw-in in the deal that the Bucks traded Brandon Jennings, and they got Brandon Knight and Chris Middleton as a throw-in. Now, I don't know if the Bucks were specifically targeting Middleton and they really wanted to get him, but he's the best player out of that trio at the moment. I think that's fair to say. He's a guy who warrants All-Star consideration. There's no way he gets into the All-Star game, but he warrants All-Star consideration. He's been fantastic. Jared Bayless was solid as well. He played 30 minutes. 11-3-3 with 3 triples and a steal. He has to be owned in 14-team leagues, and I'm okay with looking at him in 12-team leagues. He's getting back to that value before he had his ankle injury. Giannis Antetokounmpo went 14-6-4. Just an okay night there. And Greg Monroe, 15-10. While Michael Carter-Williams didn't play all that much. Only 25 minutes for him. Wasn't shooting the ball terribly. He's actually 4-5. 9 points, 1 rebound, and 2 blocks. Not his greatest night. That was John Henson's line. Let's try again. Carter Williams went 7-3 with 2 steals. That's better. Henson was still all right, though. He had his 2 blocks in 15 minutes, which is pretty stock standard for him. Jabari Parker, the best thing about his line is that he played 36 minutes, 9-2-3 with a steal. You still have to own him in 12-10 leagues. OJ Mayo sat this one out with his hamstring still an issue. On the Heat, Milwaukee's front court is a sieve in terms of allowing fantasy points, and we saw it here again. Hassan Whiteside, 23-18 with 2 blocks. Chris Bosh, 23-5 with a couple of threes and a steal. Whiteside went 8-9 from the field, so a huge, huge bump for your field goal percentage. Not so good on the free throws, going 7-11. And Luol Deng bounced back to probably what he can do, what's his ceiling, and that's not good. 11-4-2 in 34 minutes. You can do better in standard leagues. Goran Dragic was out again. Beno Udrih was out again, so Tyler Johnson got a start and was terrible. 0-6 from the field for Johnson, 3-4-1, added 2 steals, so a little bit of standard league value there. But with Dragic perhaps returning on Wednesday's game, Johnson's 12-team league value might be a little bit tenuous, so if there's someone else you really want to go and add, it might not be a terrible thing to do. Gerald Green played just 19 minutes after dealing with that knee tendonitis in the last game, 2-10 for him. He's not a 12-team league guy for me anymore. And Josh Richardson's a guy that I really like. He played 30 minutes here, just 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 steals. But he's a guy that, as a second-round player in a dynasty league, I really do like what Josh Richardson's going to be able to do at some point in the future. It's not happening this year, though. Minnesota and New Orleans. Karl Anthony Towns, 20-13, a 1-1, 2 assists, big night from him. And it reinforcing again, the Pelicans allow big men to put up pretty nice numbers. Gorgui Dieng off the bench only played 18 minutes, 8-7 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Really, really tough to own him, though, in 12-10 leagues, given the minutes that he's been being allocated, unfortunately. Ricky Rubio back to 30 minutes here, 15 points, 4 assists and a steal. A nice shooting night from Rubio as well, going 5-7 from the field. And Andrew Wiggins, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and 3 steals. Butchering percentages, though. Yeah, he was 7-17. from the field and 7 of 10 from the free throw line. And 7 of 10 from the free throw line mightn't seem bad, but on 10 attempts, hitting only 7 of them, it's still a pretty decent negative performance from him in that category. Shabazz Muhammad's minutes are right up. 28 minutes there, 13 and 5 with a block, but it's not enticing for me to in standard leagues. And shockingly enough, Tayshaun Prince isn't either. He played 27 minutes and went 3 and 2. Why won't they play Tyus Jones? I don't understand not playing Tyus Jones. Adrian Payne got 7 minutes. Kevin Martin got 13 minutes. Zach LaVine, just the 18. 4 points, 4 assists, a steal and a block. And Nemanja Bjelica played 16. They got thrashed by a terrible Pelicans team. Anthony Davis had 35 and 7 with a 3 and 2 block, so a pretty nice night from him. And Dante Cunningham actually showed up with some nice defensive numbers. 24 minutes for Cunningham, 11 points, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and added 3 triples. He's going to have to play a little bit extra with Eric Gordon out, but it doesn't mean that I want anything to do with him in 12s or probably even 14 team leagues. Alonzo G will also take on a bigger role, 7 and 4 with 2 steals in 30 minutes. He can be left alone with Dante Cunningham. And the other guy who'll probably play more minutes is Norris Cole, who played 23 here and went 7-5 and 2. He's not good. He's not a must-own player to me, even though Gordon could be out for an extended period of time. Cole, we've seen, he can play 30 minutes, and he's just not good. So I'm not automatically making a switch Gordon for Cole. For a start off, we don't know how long Gordon is out yet. There's no official timeline. You would think 3 to 4 weeks at a minimum for him. So he might be droppable because he'd been back-end valuable anyway, not really a star player or anything like that. But I'm not automatically running and grabbing Cole. You have to add him in a 14-team league. But in a 12-team league, I just don't see him really. He's one of the worst players in the NBA. I don't see him being able to do enough with playing time to justify him being added across the board. Tyreke Evans, the 21 minutes for him, 13, 3, and 5. Yeah, not a bad night. Obviously, you want him back to his 34 minutes. He was still productive in that time. And Jrue Holiday went 19, 2, and 9 with a couple of three-pointers. The Houston Rockets and the Phoenix Suns. What am I talking about? Not the Houston Rockets. The Indiana Pacers. I don't know where I read Houston from. The Indiana Pacers and the Phoenix Suns. Paul George, 19, 8, and 4 with 4 steals. Yeah, not a bad night, but it was the young players that really took my eye for the Pacers. Joe Young, 19 minutes, 11, 3, and 5 with 2 steals. I talked about him already. 2 good nights in a row. Same goes for Miles Turner, who played 31 minutes and went 15 and 4 with 4 blocks. Now, Mahinmi said that his ankle is pretty severely swollen. He may miss some time. I'm all for grabbing Miles Turner in standard leagues and seeing what plays out with it. He's been fantastic the last two games. He's outplayed LaVoy Allen and Jordan Hill in both of those games. More minutes than both of them again here. He's definitely worth looking at. Now, I don't think they're going to just go, we're going to start Miles Turner from here on out, and there goes Mahinmi's value. But he's worth adding and seeing what they do with this rotation moving forward. Monte Ellis had 20 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a couple of steals. A pretty decent night from him. And there was just not a lot else happening with a lot of these other players. Jordan Hill, 7-7. LaVoy Allen, 4-7 with a couple of steals. And Glenn Robinson, who started in place of George Hill, had 10 points with 2 assists and a steal. These aren't even plug-and-play stream options or DFS options, really. On to the Suns. A pretty decent night from Brandon Knight. 41 minutes, 21, 8-4 with 2 threes. And PJ Tucker played 45 minutes. He went 12, 10, and 5 with 2 threes. You look down the bottom of the box score and you'll see TJ Warren played 3 minutes because Jeff Hornacek thought that he wasn't hustling enough. Yeah, well, that's fair enough. And look, it must have been bad for Hornacek to be this pissed, but I just don't think Jeff really knows what he's doing with so many things, with managing men, young men, with organizing a team. I don't know. Stupid shit rule that he had in last year. You're benched as soon as you get a tech. The fact that he can't control them from getting techs is a problem in the first place. And then those sort of dumb blanket rules are dumb. TJ Warren's getting benched here when the Suns lost 3 power forwards in this game. John Lua just before the game with back spasms. Markieff Morris with a shoulder injury. He was out from halftime. And then Mirza Teletovic sprained his ankle at the start of the third quarter. They had to go small, but they still couldn't give Warren any minutes because Hornacek was setting his ways and he's teaching them a lesson. I don't know why. He's not going to be there to see the fruits of this lesson. And I would have thought that, look, in some ways I can understand it, but it's still a little bit baffling to me. Alex Len returned from his hand injury, 21 minutes, 6 and 12. Actually, back to Warren. Really tough to own him in standard leagues, I think. He's up and down, and he doesn't do enough in enough areas to be owned or to think that, yeah, look, he's not like a Kelly Olynyk who can play 17 minutes and then get, you know, three threes, three steals, two blocks. Yeah, Warren's got to get you bulk points, and he's got to get you field goal percentage. He doesn't do a huge amount. He can be dropped. Tucker and Booker, the other two, always group these guys together. They are the players who should be owned. Tyson Chandler had 14 boards in 27 minutes. Not his greatest night, but the 14 boards, a steal and a block is still pretty handy. The 3 points isn't, but neither he or Alex Len are standard league guys for me. The last game of the night, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets. Durant, 30 and 12, 3 triples, 2 steals and 2 blocks. A really big night from him. And Westbrook went 27, 5 and 12 with 3 steals. So we expect that from both of those guys. What we didn't expect was Enes Kanter to go crazy. 25 and 8 in 25 minutes with 10 of 14 shooting. And he hit 5 of 7 from the free throw line. This is the exact thing that we talk about when I talk about Kanter, is he's going to have a game where you go, yep, got to own him, got to own him. And then he'll play 18 minutes in the next game and have 7 points and 5 rebounds. Add him, see what happens, drop him, whatever. It's not like he outplayed Steven Adams, because Adams played 30 minutes here. They played together for a little bit. Adams went 10 and 6. So he's not a must-add player, but if you're cycling through guys on your bench or one player there, maybe add Kanter and see what happens for the next time. This is not likely to be an ongoing sort of performance, I wouldn't have thought. Campaign really couldn't get anything going with his shot, missed all 9 shots, but still had 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals in 20 minutes, playing next to Russell Westbrook a lot. I'm going to gush over him again. He's really, really good. I can't wait to see an extended role for him at some point, either this season, which is unlikely, or next couple of years. On the Nuggets, another big scoring night from Danilo Gallinari, 27 points with 4 triples and a couple of steals. And Kenneth Faried had 17 and 15 in his 28 minutes. Nikola Jokic started. Yusuf Nurkic was available to play, but he didn't. He didn't see the game at all. And Jameer Nelson was out of this one. Jokic started 6-3 in 19 minutes. I reckon he's still a hold in standard leagues, because he didn't play that much in this one because Joffrey Lavernier got really hot. He hit all 6 of his shots for 12 points with 4 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Not rushing to grab Lavernier. Daryl Arthur, 29 minutes, 4-7-4 with a couple of blocks. He's hard to be a standard league guy. And my boy Gary Harris, 11-6 with a couple of threes and a couple of assists. Still that back-end 12-team league guy. What about Will Barton? Not his greatest performance. 19 minutes, 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He just came back in the last game with a decent performance. Before that, had been a lot of crap. Still has to be owned, but it's definitely a situation there that we're monitoring to see this big, big downturn in his level of production, which is what we're seeing at the moment. All right, that is those games done. I'm going to take a quick break. Before we do that, another quick word from a sponsor, and then we'll be back to preview the games for Wednesday, all 11 of them. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away, 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 away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street and I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance, you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end. And I can't pretend I'm ready to be your friend. So don't go, don't you know my face? I'm the one that made your heart break so, so long ago. And don't go. We are back. There are 11 games to take a look at. The first one is the Miami Heat and the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are favored by 3. The total is 199. Lots of injuries to talk about here. For the Wizards, Chris Humphries has already been ruled out. Drew Gooden has been ruled out. Otto Porter has been ruled out. On the Miami Heat side, Goran Dragic is going to be out, and we need to check on Beno Udrih, who's questionable with that neck issue. Now, the inclusion of Udrih is going to change a lot of things DFS value style, because it's going to affect what Tyler Johnson can do, and it's also going to make Udrih a really good play if he is able to go. We don't know that just yet, though. let's talk Udry. He's priced at 3,800. So if we know that he's playing, he's a great guy to look at. He put up 33 points, actually, in the last game. And for as good as John Wall is at that sort of salary, I'm happy throwing Udry in there. Tyler Johnson's at 4,500. He would have killed lots of people's lineups today. Therefore, he'll be pretty under-owned, I reckon. So not a terrible guy to throw in there, especially if Udry's out. You might be able to get some value back of him, but he was not good. Gerald Green's a nice tournament option. He has not been very good at all lately, but at 3,700, you know, there's 25, 26 point upside easily for Gerald Green. I really like Marcin Gortat here at 7,100. Yes, it's not an easy matchup, but he's been a consistent 32, 33 point guy over the last week and a bit. He could be a 35 point guy here, and I think that's right on where you need him to be. 7,100 for Dwayne Wade, not quite returning enough value there. Don't love that, nor do I love Luol Deng. 7,800 for Hassan Whiteside, I do. He's a 49 average over his last three. Marcin Gortat's a decent defender, but not enough to really prevent Whiteside putting up the fantasy stats that he needs to return value at just under 8,000. Johnny Wall at 10,200. The last time he took on a team who was really good defensively against point guards, and that was Boston, he dropped a 73.9 fantasy point performance. Not quite sure he's going to be able to do that here, but you wouldn't put it past him. But the price at 10,200 it's a little bit risky to me, so I reckon I'll probably steer clear of John Wall. Chris Bosh at 7,800. If I'm spending 7,800 on a Heat big man, I'm spending on Hassan Whiteside. Their output over the last few games, it pales into insignificance. Bosh at a 29.6 average, Whiteside at a 48.6. So a really big difference there. And Garrett Temple at 4,800. That's too high for a guy whose minutes might be coming down. Not using Brad Beal yet because he's still priced at 6,800 and his minutes are nowhere near enough to recoup that sort of value. The next game is the Philadelphia 76ers and the Orlando Magic. No spread out for this one just yet. Not really sure what they're waiting on. Maybe it's the status of Nick Stauskas. I doubt it. Victor Oladipo has been ruled out already, so we know that he's not playing. Toby Harris at 5,600. The last game the Magic got smashed, so a lot of their guys had their minutes reduced. Toby Harris at 5,600. He's averaging 26 across his last five games. He's got 30 points here against the Sixers. And I touched on this the other day. I'm not counting the Sixers as blowout guys anymore. You know, they stay in the games. Teams haven't been able to limit their starters really against the Sixers. So, and the Magic aren't playing that well anyway. So this is not a spot where I go, the Magic guys aren't going to play many minutes because they're going to be smashing the Sixers. So there's a lot of value on them because the Sixers still allow a lot of fantasy points. So Toby Harris is a good play. 4,200 for Aaron Gordon. Really interesting. He put up almost 33 in the last game in 27 minutes. Scott Skiles has done his usual Scott Skiles thing and hinted at a lineup change, but won't say anything because he's got to be super sleuthy and really, you know, mysterious and all that sort of shit. Who knows what it means? It could mean anything, but apparently he's making a lineup change. We'll see. Aaron Gordon could be that guy who's starting over Fry. Anyway, his minutes have been trending in the right direction, and he's able to put up big fantasy numbers. The matchup's positive. I think he's a really good play at 4,200. 7,500 for Nick Vucevic against his former team. I don't think revenge really comes into that. A really tasty matchup for him. The game's close. He's going to look to see 34, 35 minutes, and he's going to look to see 40 fantasy points. I reckon he's a good play. And Evan Fournier at 48. I don't reckon he's going to be owned in many spots, but Victor Oladipo's out. The game will be close. You should see him back to 32 minutes. He can be a 24, 25, 28 point sort of guy. And against the Sixers, it's nice for him. I think this is a good spot. On the Sixers side of things, Bob Cove at 4,800. Huge minutes in the last game. Not all that fantasy productive, but still not terrible. He's still averaging 28 across the last three, though, which obviously clears value at 4,800. I think he's a good option to use. And Ish Smith is now priced at 7,200. So his salary is way up there, but he's still been exceeding value. He's averaging 40 across his last five, and that's way above what 7,200 gives you. Not worried about the Magic's defense with Oladipo out. He is a fine play to use. Lord Alfred Payton will be starting again in place of Victor Oladipo, I think, unless Shabazz Napier gets the job. By the way, if Napier gets a starting job here, use him. 5,700 for Payton. No thanks. 6,500 for Jahlil Okafor. 6,600 for Nerlens Noel. Both of these guys are in play against the Magic. If I'm using one, I'm using Noel, who's been a little bit better, well, a little bit more productive lately. But it really depends on the way that you've structured your team. Either of them could be used. Noel's going to get the defensive numbers. Okafor is going to be the scoring guy. Yeah, or maybe actually, no, let's think about it. Okafor going up against Vucevic's defense. He might be in for a big game. Both of these guys are definitely in play. The wings in Philadelphia, Nick Stauskas, Hollis Thompson, Jeremy Grant, I think we'll leave Jakarr Sampson, we'll leave all those guys out of our considerations. If Stauskas doesn't play, Isaiah Cannon at 3,800 is worth considering in a tournament, definitely, because he's played a lot more minutes in the last couple of games. Boston versus Toronto. The Raptors are favored by 3.5. The total is 201 here. Injury-wise, not too much to worry about, which is always good. Corey Joseph at 3,700. He struggled in the last game. The matchup's not good for him. But at 3,700, I'm definitely okay with using him. And same goes with Patrick Patterson at 3,700. Now, the matchup is good for him. His minutes have been fantastic, averaging 30 minutes across his last five. He's averaging 22 points across his last three. He's very, very streaky, so it's hard to rely on a cash game, but it's only 3,700. So maybe you can, if he struggles and has 12 points, it's not going to completely kill you. And he can go off and have 30 and be a really good return on investment guy. Jonas Valanciunas at 6,100. Yeah, the matchup is nice for him. No one really scares me in it being able to slow him down. Do you use him, though? He's averaging 32 across the last three. I'm okay with using him. Amir Johnson's an interesting one. This is a revenge game for him, playing against his former team. He hasn't been great lately. He's at 5,100. I'd reserve him only for a tournament. Same thing goes with Jared Sullinger, who has been playing well, and Kelly Olynyk, averaging 27 for Sullinger, 28 for Olynyk over the last three. Sullinger's at 5,500, and Olynyk's at 48. So they've been constantly beating value, but you can't really rely upon them in a cash game setting, I don't think. A guy I'm happy to rely upon in a cash game at the moment is DeMar DeRozan at 8,200. Yes, it feels a little bit high, but over recent times, shooting guards have been able to put up numbers against the Celtics. He's averaging 37 over his last five games. He feels rock solid in that role. Avery Bradley's also in a pretty nice vein of form. 5,400 is his salary. He's giving you over 30 in the last three. He dropped 38 in the last one. He's in pretty nice form, so I'm okay with using him. 9,200 for Kyle Lowry, too expensive for me to use against Boston, despite what John Wall did to them over the weekend. Terrence Ross, James Johnson, those guys are going to play some of those minutes at the vacated small forward spot. I don't think we want to use them. And 6,700 for Jay Crowder, that just feels a little bit high, given how well the Raptors do defend that position. He's averaging 34.7, though, which is really not bad, but this just doesn't project as a really great matchup to go and use Jay Crowder. Cleveland and Brooklyn. This could get ugly. Talk about the Sixers not being blowout worthy anymore. This is blowout worthy. Now, the Cavs got their ass kicked by the Warriors of the day. You think they're not going to be pissed? I'm sure they will be. They travel to potentially the worst team in the league, the Nets. They're favored by 13. That feels low. The total is 197.5. Kevin Love dealing with something on his hand. He should be okay to play, though. Not much else in the injury front to talk about. I worry about the blowout factor here. Like, I love Kyrie Irving going up against the Nets backcourt, but yeah, Irving, if the game's looking out of hand, he's going to play 23 minutes. Yeah, Love's not going to play. LeBron will play 27 minutes. Like, these guys will get shut down. Now, if you think that the Cavs' problems are going to extend to taking on the Nets, which they might, the matchup's really positive, especially for Kyrie. I'm not all that confident in using them. LeBron at 9,800 is a little bit interesting, though, although he has been a little bit short of expectation over the last week or so. Donald Sloan at 4,400, you definitely have to consider using him. Almost a 30-point average across his last three. The minutes are right up there as well, averaging 31 in those games. Definitely relegated Shane Larkin to more of a backup role. I am okay with using Sloan. Brook Lopez at 8,500, that just feels too expensive. Against the Cavs, who are really good at defending that center position, I don't want to use him. I won't be using Tristan Thompson or Timofey Mozgov, though, either. Joe Johnson's at 5,500, and he's been putting up some solid numbers, but against the Cavs, that salary feels a little bit too high, and same thing with Thad Young at 6,800. He hasn't been really returning enough value on the investment at that point, and the matchup is definitely not a positive one for him. Utah and New York, there is no spread on this one because we don't know if Derek Favors is going to play. Spoiler alert, he's not. He's doubtful. There's no chance that he plays. The other guy who we need to check on is Kristaps Porzingis.
Porzingis.
Yep. He is dealing with a sore foot. He said it felt a little bit better today, which is obviously good news. Mello is listed as probable as well, but Mello is going to play. Now, with Favors almost definitely out, you have to consider Trey Lyles. He's at 4,300. not his greatest night in the last game, still put up almost 24 fantasy points. So at 4,300, he's a guy that I'd look if I'm looking for a cheap power forward option. Trevor Booker also comes into consideration at 4,300. They're the two options you've got there. Robin Lopez at 47. The Rudy Gobert matchup isn't all that tasty, so nah, even at 4,700, I think we'll pass on him. 51 for Rod Hood? No. 71 for Kristaps? Probably not. This matchup is just not suiting me for a lot of these Knicks players going up against Gobert and the Jazz defense. Gobert, on the other hand, at 7,100, he's been exceeding value. He's averaging 37.5 across his last three. At 7,100, it's sort of right on 5x value. So he's a guy that I'm okay with looking at. Gordie Hayward is now priced at 8,100. That's real expensive, but he's been beating that value on average over his last five at over 40 points on average. It just feels a little bit expensive to me, so there's a bit more hesitancy in using Hayward. When he was stuck around that 7,200-7,300 mark, he was a guy that you looked to smash in pretty much every matchup you could. At 8,100, though, it just feels like it's a little bit out of the price range. Aaron Aflalo at 5,300. Nah, don't like the matchup for him in this one, nor do I like it for Jose Calderon. I think we'll leave him out of it, especially with 11 games on, where there's going to be other value in other games that we can exploit too. Detroit Pistons and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are favored by 3. The total is 206 points here. There is not much to really talk too much about in terms of injuries for the Pistons. For the Rockets, Patrick Beverley is questionable with an ankle problem. If he is out, we're going to see more Marcus Thornton, and he was really good in the Rockets' last game against the Clippers, so he is someone that you could throw into a tournament. He put up 35 points at 3,900. He is worth looking at. Rockets bump. Who gets it? Andre Drummond at 8,800. That salary has come right down. I feel like we haven't had a big Drummond game for quite a while. The problem is he's taking on Dwight Howard. So as much as there is the Rockets bump, it doesn't really happen for centers. So not sure that Drummond is an okay option. He's not a great one. 7,200 for Reggie Jackson. Again, no Patrick Beverley. Much more comfortable using him at 7,200. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 59. He's going to be a recipient of the Rockets bump. Can he get 30 points? I reckon he's a pretty decent chance to get it, so I'd be okay looking at him. And who else? Ersan Ilyasova is the other one. He's at 5,800. He's at 32.5 average across his last three. The matchup suits him. I'd be okay with using Ersan here. I think that his ownership won't be very high. I reckon he's a really solid guy to have a look at. Jim Harden, he's at 9,300, so his salary's come down quite a bit, but he hasn't really even looked close to cracking the 45-point mark in recent times. And at 9,300, you really do need him to do that. The Pistons is not a great team for him to do that against. 8,500 for Dwight, look, putting up fantastic numbers, but that's so expensive. I'll go in a different direction than Dwight Howard. That's just too expensive. Terrence Jones, Clint Capella, no thanks with either of those guys. And Marcus Morris at 52 is also a guy who I've bashed quite a lot on this show, but at 5,200 against the Rockets, he's in play. The Charlotte Hornets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are favored by 10. The total is 207.5 points. Pretty decent total. Pretty nice spread there for the Thunder as well. No real injuries to talk about. Jeremy Lamb is questionable with his toe issue. And apparently Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is going to make a return at some point this season. He's not someone that we're looking to stash or own or anything like that in any standard leagues. It'd have to be a pretty deep league if you're looking to stash Kidd-Gilchrist, because he was borderline 12-team league valuable as a healthy starter. Don't think he's going to be that this year. We'll see, but he's looked good to see him making a comeback, and hopefully the Hornets are able to get into the playoffs. And he's able to play a big part in that, but good to see him back, or getting close to getting back in action. Other guys in this game, not much really stands out from a huge value point of view. I do like that Nick Batum has now gone under 7,000. He's down to 6,900. His form has been a little bit low, but this matchup is not prime for him. KD at 99, you're almost going to get 45 of him on most nights. So he's a really almost risk-free play at sub 10,000. Enes Kanter is a tournament option. The matchup does not really suit him, and he's not likely to go for two big games in a row. So 4,300, I reckon I'll pass. And 6,200 for Serge Ibaka. His matchup is a little bit more friendly, but he hasn't been putting up big numbers. His salary is quite low, so to expect him to go for 30 is okay, but he's probably not the guy that I would have in my lineup. $10,500 for Russell Westbrook. Not quite as safe as KD, but obviously with a bigger ceiling. I don't think I'm going to spend that much on using him though in today's lineup. And $8,600 for Kemba Walker. That's so huge. That's massive. He's been huge. He's been enormous. He was enormous in the last game. The Russell Westbrook is not a good defender, so Walker's going to get a bump there. But $8,600 feels so expensive. Definitely okay with considering him. It's not a complete write off. Like, what are you doing? Don't use Kemba. But it just feels so high, that salary. Cody Zeller's at $4,900. He's been a little bit lackluster lately. And Jeremy Lin at 53. I'd want him under 5,000. A guy you can look at maybe, Frank Kaminsky, who's been a solid 23, 24-point guy recently. Not a favorable matchup, but the minutes have been going his way. So maybe you can look at him if you're looking for one of those cheap power forward options. Marvin Williams at 5,000. Definitely improved lately. And I'd be sort of okay with using him, but not putting a huge amount of confidence in him being good against the Thunder. The Warriors and the Bulls. The Warriors travel to Chicago. They are favored by 7.5. The total is 214.5 points. No injuries to really talk about. Oh, Kirk Heinrich is out for the Bulls. Sure, that makes a big difference to everything that you're doing in your DFS lineups. $4,900 for Taj Gibson. Really nice matchup for him here. He's not priced high. 26 points is all he needs to really get your value back. So this is a good spot for him. And Pau Gasol at 9,000, absolutely on fire lately. And again, the matchup is pretty positive for him. Even though it is the Warriors, big men are able to put up some pretty nice numbers. Pau almost cracked 60 in the last game. He's worth looking at. Nikola Mirotic at 4,800, definitely not for cash games, not a chance. Nice friendly matchup, but strictly a tournament play, and even then, I'm not all that confident depending on what Fred Hoiberg is going to do. Don't know what he's going to do at this point. $4,700 for Harrison Barnes. Nope, not returning enough value. Not risking Andrew Bogut or Festus Ezeli. Derek Rose at 6,000. That salary is coming more into line with where I want it to be. It's not quite there yet. It needs to be under 6,000 to consider him. 69 for Klay Thompson. No thanks, not against Jimmy Butler. And I'm going to say the same for Jim Butler at 9,100. That's too expensive when he's going up against Klay Thompson, who's a really good defender. So I think those two are going to cancel each other out to some degree. Butler will still have a decent game, but not a $9,100 worth game. 11,000 for Steph Curry. That's too expensive. I'm not spending 11,000 on him on a game where there are 11 on a day when there are 11 games on. It's not spending 11,000 on Steph. And 9,400 for Draymond Green. Look, big men against the Bulls, they tend to do pretty well. 9,400 for Draymond, it's so expensive though. I'm not all that confident in using him. Not trusting Bobby Portis either, who cannot seem to get on the court at the moment. Minnesota and Dallas. The Mavericks are favored by 9. The total is 197 in this game. Injuries to concern ourselves with. Not much, thankfully, except Kevin Garnett is out for the Timberwolves. He is resting at the back-to-back. A couple of guys you can take a punt on again. Zach LaVine at 41, Shabazz Muhammad at 3,800, strictly for tournaments. I do like Darren Williams. He's at 6,100. He put up 34 in the last game. He's a 28 average across his last three. A relatively positive matchup for him. He's someone that I'm okay with using. His counterpart, Ricky Rubio. Nope, just not getting the numbers happening at the moment. Zaza Pachulia at 6,600 and Dirk at 7,100. Not really loving either of those guys in this matchup either. Karl Anthony Towns at 7,200 had a really big game against the Pelicans, put up 37.6 points. He needs to get close to that again to really return value. Yeah, not a terrible spot to use him, but not the best matchup you'll find for Towns. Andrew Wiggins at 6,700. He's averaging almost 32 across the last three, getting close to being someone you can look to use here. Chandler Parsons is a relatively good defender. So is Wes Matthews. So he's not going to have everything his own way. So it doesn't make him a must play or anything like that. Next up, the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers. There should be a stack of fantasy value here. The Kings are favored by 7. The total is 215 points. Larry Nance will not play, most likely. Byron Scott has stated he is very doubtful, much like my confidence in Byron Scott's ability to coach. I'm very doubtful that I have any confidence in that. Larry Nance will not play, I would say. Brandon Bass will. Kobe Bryant will play. So both of those guys are in action. Bryant at 6,100 just hasn't been getting it done. Minutes have been limited. Not going to use him. I don't mind Jordan Clarkson at 59, though. He's put up a decent game in the last one, sort of playing into a bit more form, and that salary is a little bit more appealing. With Nance out, Julius Randle put up 29 in the last game. He's at 5,500. He is a pretty nice play against a Kings team who allows power forwards to go pretty big most of the time. Lakers players, D'Angelo Russell at 5,100. You'd throw him in a tournament, but that's probably about it. What I do like is a couple of Kings guys. I like DeMarcus Cousins at 10,700. That is expensive, but it is the Lakers. He's been a 50-point guy across his last five games. His lowest score across his last five is 42.6. So you're getting really nice floor, and you think against the Lakers, that floor will be pushed even higher. Rudy Gay at 7,300. It's a little bit high, that salary, for me. I don't mind Darren Collison at 52. He's worth considering. Rajon Rondo at 8,100. I'd like him at 51. At 8,100, just feels a bit expensive. Yes, he's been consistently giving you about 36, but it's not quite enough at 8,100 on a day where I predict there'll be some pretty decent fantasy scores coming through. 5,500 for Omri Caspi. No, the matchups for him and the minutes for him aren't quite where they need to be. Willie Cauley-Stein at 3,600 is worth a punt in a tournament. The matchup suits him. Maybe he gets 20 minutes as a starter. Maybe he plays 13 like the game before. We don't know how it works out, so we're not going to play him in cash games. But maybe in a tournament, he's worth considering. The Hawks and the Blazers is the next game. The Hawks are favored by 2 points. The total is 208.5. No injuries to worry about here. The Portland front court, it's a great matchup, but who is going to get the minutes? I don't mind Myers Leonard at 3,900. That's cheap. He's a 20-point average across his last three. Again, he gives you 20 points, 5x, locked it up, done. You're okay with that. So he's worth a look. Also, don't hate looking at Ed Davis and Mason Plumlee, but the salaries on those guys are higher than Myers Leonard, so that's why I would look at Leonard first. 8,800 for Dame Lillard. Not his greatest performance in the last couple of games. Positive matchup, salary under 9,000. This could be a spot for him to really put up a decent game. So I'm looking at Lillard and thinking he's okay. Kyle Korver at 3,800, a solid tournament bet as well. Not using Jeff Teague. Don't know what they're going to do with him and Schroeder. Likely going to split the minutes relatively close. And 5,200 for Schroeder. Similarly, I'm not using him. Paul Millsap at 8,700. That salary is getting high, but I am relatively confident with him to achieve at least 40 points in a game against the Blazers, who aren't ideal. And Al Horford at 7,600, similar boat. He's a pretty decent guy to have a look at. Kent Bazemore's been bad. He's averaging 15.8 points across his last five, and at 5,000, that's not good. The matchup suits him, but his form is definitely not trending in the right direction, so I'll leave him. And same with CJ McCollum. 7,700 is just too expensive given what he's been doing lately. Not many other guys. Alan Crabb, maybe, at 4,600 you'd throw into a tournament lineup. A 26-point outing in the last one, but to me, he just doesn't do enough for me to have all that or a huge amount of confidence in him. Let's bring up the DFS picks of the day. All right, at point guard, Beno Udrih at 3,800, assuming he plays. If not, we'll probably slot Tyler Johnson in there. Jordan Clarkson, 59, and Damian Lillard, 88. At shooting guard, Evan Fournier, 4,800, Avery Bradley, 54, and DeMar DeRozan, 8,200. Small forwards, Bob Carver at 4,800, Toby Harris, 56, and Aaron Gordon. Oh, I missed someone. I missed one of my other power forwards. I'll get him in a sec. That's my small forward, sorry. At power forward, Aaron Gordon, 4,200. Julius Randle, 55. And Pau Gasol, 9,000. Centers, Myers Leonard, 3,900. Marcin Gortat, 71. And DeMarcus Cousins at 10,700. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to get who my other power forward was that I missed out on. The expensive power forward. And let you know who that was. Don't have it up on the graphic. Let's bring it up. Sorry about this delay, guys. Don't know where that went on my little sheet there. Pau Gasol, he was the other guy, at 9,000. So he's my expensive power forward option. That's Pau Gasol. All right, we are done for this podcast, guys. Tomorrow we're going to be doing listener questions in the show, so I'll send a tweet out, reply to that with your listener questions. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's redrock_bball. You can find me using the same handle on Instagram as well, and I hope you guys have been liking the little cards that I've been putting up on Instagram. Go and follow me over there, and you know, it takes a little bit of work to do them, but it's really fun to put them up, so I do like doing that. Check that out and let me know what you think. Follow Basketball Monster on Twitter, @BaskMonster. HardwoodParoxysm.com and BasketballMonster.com are the two websites that I am associated with. Go and download the SeatGeek app and use that promo code REDROCK to show SeatGeek we are show them that we're better than Bill Simmons and all the other guys that use SeatGeek. Go and use my code and let's blow these guys out of the water. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.